Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
God's news behind the news. I don't know if you guys saw this over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it, but
what?
Great tragedy happened. Jovan Belcher, he's a football
player. Oh, my
player
goodness. Yes. Yes. Terrible.
Did you hear about that?
Oh, my goodness.
It was very, 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 very tragic. He's a 25-year-old a football player who committed suicide, shot himself in front of his coach. And
that was after
person.
He had shot his girlfriend at the house, supposedly, right? Allegedly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's afterwards.
Okay.
Oh. And they were...
No, that was first.
Has to be first.
Well, that was first, right? I'm talking about he committed suicide afterwards, obviously.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, well, after he murdered his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a 3-month-old child.
It's horrific, dude. It's
a 3-month-old child. It's 20, I mean, think about it, 25 years old,
so
promising NFL career.
He was a lineman. He was on the front line.
Right, right. And you think about, you know, it's just sad. They're still kind of investigating what happened. This just happened Saturday. It just happened.
Did you hear if you're a player, you know that your coach had a fight to get you on that team and trained you, and you're indebted and grateful to that coach. And the situation, it appears, based on the reports this weekend, was, you know, the murder took place at his home, and obviously a rage and some sort of, you know, whatever. And then he goes to his coach that was his coach, I'll be the head coach of the team, and he's there, and he pulls a gun out there, and he says, "I just wanted to thank you for everything that you did for me." And something of that nature, and then they try to talk him out of it, and then that's when he actually shot himself right there in front of the coach. And it's like so many men are in that predicament. Listen, that could be you out there. That could be you out there. You're trying to figure out, you know, I'm trying to do this thing, but you're trying to do it without God. I mean, if you're living with that woman, you're not married to her, and that's your child, get married to her. Find God. Listen, this is too tough to do on your own. And listen, so many things are against the way the man thinks, the way God's designed you. And you're going to be, you know, in a constant state of flux and frustration. And most of the world is living that way right now, so they're not going to be able to help you. They don't have any wisdom. And my heart just broke for the whole situation because if he would have turned to God and had godly men in his life, you know, other men, they're going through the same struggles. And, you know, like you said in the first hour, that this could have possibly been prevented.
Right. I mean, proof positive how much we need each other. You're just talking about relationships and how much we, you know, we can carry each other's burdens. And now, you know, this poor young 22-year-old girlfriend, mother of a child is gone. And you have a young baby now who's fatherless and motherless.
Yeah, she was 22, right?
Yeah, she was 22.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we need each other. And it's proof positive that, you know, you look at a celebrity, you look at someone who you think is successful or has money, and let me tell you something, all that glitters is not gold. I mean, you can have everything that the world thinks that's the greatest thing in the world to have, but if you don't have God, you know, if you don't have God, at the end of the day, if you don't have Jesus, does it really matter?
Meaningless.
Well, think about this too, is that here is a strong, hard, I mean, everything that you could possibly imagine. Everything that you can imagine being
physically fit,
physically
right.
Exactly, which proves, you know, that this is not a physical battle. Even though we want to sometimes react out of our—that's what a man does. A man just reacts physically quite often,
just out of instinct.
Out of instinct, but it's going to be one at the cross. It's going to be one on our knees. It's going to be one. This is us about promise keepers when we used to be, you know, the way that they were when we come to the stadiums and men would just fall down to their knees because that's the predicament that men get in without God. And without God, it is hopeless. It seems hopeless, you know, and you just want to stop the antagonist. You want to stop. And all of a sudden we start thinking this person is the problem instead of Satan being the problem because we don't know anything about Satan if we don't know God.
Right? Yeah. When you look at it, I mean, you know, men right there, they're under so much attack in the nation. I mean, every form, the world's trying to do everything to replace the man, to replace the father in the home, to get him out of the picture, if you will. And you'd be so much bombardment that you need to reach out. You got to have relationships, you know. And I don't like. There's a recent commercial, and I don't even like this commercial, but they're playing it often. And the guy's at a checkout stand, and he pays with this card. He's at a particular store, and then somehow the guy who takes his payment says, "Oh, you just saved X amount of dollars," and then he kind of goes into a daydream where each family member is just praising, "Oh, Dad, you bought me this. I'll love you forever." The wife says, "Oh, you're awesome. I got you this." And the kid says, "Oh, thank you, Dad. This is what I always wanted." And the father in this commercial is so filled with joy. And it's almost like you were talking earlier. It's like he was buying their love. You know, he didn't have any value until he got a gift. He wasn't all that until she got what she always wanted. And it's like, man, if you're alone under this type of bombardment, no man's going to make it.
Yeah, you won't. It's impossible outside of God. And but it is sad. It's sad to see that and to watch what is taking place in so many men's lives. And I would love to see that stopped.
Yes.
You know
then you know, if you guys saw this, that it's reported that during the football the next day, because it was Sunday, you know, I have a Saturday, Sunday's football. A lot of games were played on that day, and Bob Costas started making a remark, it's reported, about gun control, and it was a lot of reaction on social media in regards to it. And, you know, the real tragic situation that occurs, you know, oftentimes, a lot of times when people get, you know, are killed and there's a use of a gun, it's always a proponent, it's always someone trying to talk about gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And is that really the right way? I mean, do we? You know,
well, you can jump off a building. I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, do we? So many things. You don't want to pull away a Second Amendment right that's given to us. You know, this is. You don't want to start attacking that. You know, and it's like, people kill people. You know, it's not. Mm-hmm. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
And some people say, well, if he didn't have a gun, this wouldn't happen to him. But the truth is that that's probably the least ways that people end their life, you know, with a gun. You know, there's so many other ways, just driving intentionally, erratically, taking medications, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, I do want to say that, you know, our prayers go out to the three-month-old child.
Yes.
And
we understand
the family members came and got their child. You know, how do you, when you're first looking at it, you're thinking, I can't believe you guys are going to play Sunday. I just, for some reason, that was my first reaction was,
that was my thought.
I can't
as well.
Believe that you're going to play Sunday. And, I have a lot of mixed feelings about that, you know, because when a player plays football, what he's doing is going to work.
Right.
You know, it's like you go to your job. Mm-hmm. And if your boss tells you, I got to go to work. And you got to go to work. So it boils mm-hmm. down to who was the ultimate one called. And then they get paid per game. You know, right. The money comes for a game. It's like, can you afford your house anymore? Can you afford your car if you don't show up? Or sometimes you can't just throw a blanket over that and just say, hey, you know. But at first I'm thinking, are you really going to play tomorrow? Are you really going to play? I mean, one day you couldn't pause. And no matter how we look at it in the context of God, it's like you couldn't even pause for 24 hours when the society that you're allowing to happen and develop and take place in America now, you know, falls in on itself. And a young girl, 22, and a young man, 25, life's end. And they were a revenue source for you, business person. You know, they showed up at work. They did something. They contributed something. Mm. And as a matter of fact, from what I understand, he was like a leader as the players. Players, he cheered on the players and one of those encouragers.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of shocked, you know, that they didn't even ponder out loud, at least ponder it out loud so that it looks like that he's worth stopping for.
Yeah. In fact, on the contrary, I think what I heard allegedly was that there were reports from people that were saying, please don't stop the game for the fans. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me wonder if the team let them win, because they did win.
I don't know if you saw this, but in San Bernardino, California, they were told the city now is reaching bankruptcy. And this is, you know, we're starting to see a trend here. It's all about fiscal cliff. We're talking about tough economic times, but they're reaching bank. They're in bankruptcy, and they have to lay off 80 police officers. 80 police officers had to downsize. You know, we saw this in Detroit. We saw this in Camden, New Jersey. We saw this in Detroit when the Detroit police were telling the tourists that were entering Detroit, enter Detroit at your own risk. This is the police saying this. And now there's an attorney for the city allegedly telling the residents, lock your doors and load your guns.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
This is the attorney from the city now, okay?
And, you know, we can survive this, you know, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know what I mean? So he says, because they will need to start protecting themselves due to the diminishing number of cops on the streets. And he says, you know, it is the perfect example of why self-reliance is so important. It's not because when the government can't protect you anymore, you have to be able to protect yourself and your family.
Right.
And so it's like, oh, my goodness. Are you serious? I mean, 80 police officers. And your heart goes out. It's like, wow, you know, what do you do when the city is cash strapped? What do you do when the city is reaching bankruptcy and just can no longer afford to pay the police officers that are going to protect the citizens? And they saw a recent spike in murders that year alone. And so the Constitution is important. The Bill of Rights are important. The Second Amendment is important. You know, the Second Amendment is that you have the right to bear arms. And it says that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Right.
And we saw this in Detroit.
I know, right?
We talked about the proposed tax on bullets. Remember when we talked about it on
BFN radio?
And it's like, are you kidding me? Taxing bullets.
Unbelievable.
Camden, New Jersey, lost their whole police staff, their whole police. And so they, instead of having city police, they went to a county, police, non-union police officers to protect the entire county. And so, listen, I mean, you need to stay abiding. You need to stay close to the Lord. You need to stay to a place where you're hearing from God because, you know, he's the one that's going to protect us. We can't throw away our Second Amendment rights. We can't throw away the right to bear arms. You just can't do that away. I mean, and you can't have an over-reliance on government. We talked about this, and if you haven't got this teaching yet, you got to get this teaching. SOS, the Tale of Two Kings. I mean, are we going to rely on government to do everything?
Right.
Or are we going to rely on God and the wisdom that God gave us? You know, he says, you shall not eat on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, we're going to make it. Yes. We're going to make it by hearing God.
That's right. That's the only way we're going to make it.
Yeah, we're not going to make it by, you know, our own schemes, our own strategies. I mean, having our best schemes got us in the situation that we are today.
Exactly.
Having our best strategies have a $16 trillion in debt and less than 30 days away going over this fiscal cliff.
Right.
And it's like, we need to, you know, pause for the cause, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got to step back and begin to remember the things that matter most. Let's get grounded. Let's hold on to this Constitution. Let's begin to do things the right way, God's way, so that we can actually make it.
Absolutely.
We can actually make it. But they want to share that. San Bernardino, this is California, and you're starting to see a trend. You know, listen, don't get fretful. There's no reason to be, you know, we just need to stay in God. If we stay in God, we're going to be all right.
That's right. We'll make it.
But at the same time, yeah, absolutely. At the same time, we can't be ignorant of the enemy's devices.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.